You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're trying to help young men grow and mature in their faith. I'm talking to Generation Z. And I'm telling you guys, it's time for you to continue to grow, continue to look to Christ in every area of your life. And here we are in part three of a four-part series on dating in a way that glorifies God. That's right. We're talking to you guys about how to date. We want you guys to date. We want you to get engaged. We want you to get married. That's part of God's plan for the majority of people on planet Earth. Now, I get it. There's some people who are given the gift of singleness, as 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about that. But just all things considered, most young men in the church today have a desire to be married. And so that means in God's kindness and in God's grace, He gives opportunities to date, to figure out who's the right one for you. Who has God selected for you? And so I've been telling you a few stories about meeting my own bride, Lisa, and how we kind of had our first coffee date and how we got to know each other. And today I thought I would start off this episode by telling you about our first argument. Basically, this is what happened. After we went on our first coffee date, we just fell for each other. And we wanted to spend as much time as we could together. So we did what couples do. They look for ways, creative ways to spend time together. We would go running together. We would go to coffee together. We would try to study together. And of course, most of that time, we're just talking about each other and how excited we were to be in a relationship, that we were, you know, seeking to see what God was going to do in this special time together. Well, basically, what happened in the midst of all of this, I was talking to my mom on the phone. So I was living here in Los Angeles, going to seminary. My mom is in Georgia. So I'm like, hey, mom, I think I met the one. I think I met this girl that I'm thinking I'm going to marry her. And my mom was like, what? That's incredible. We're so excited, but we would love to get to meet her. Why don't you fly her out? Because this is about November of that year. And she says, why don't you fly her out over Christmas break and we can get to meet her and we'll pay for her trip. And we just want to get to meet her and spend some time with you guys. And so I shared that with Lisa and she's like, that's awesome. I would love to spend some time with your family over the Christmas break. And you won't believe this, but my mom, and her mom was living in Dallas at the time, said, hey, you got to come spend some time with us. You got to spend time with us in Dallas over the Christmas break. And so we kind of had these big plans that over the upcoming Christmas break, which was only like a month away, we would spend a few days in Georgia together with my parents, and we would spend a few days in Dallas together with Lisa's parents. And so that was the plan. Okay, so this is what happened. This is kind of over Thanksgiving. And so the day after Thanksgiving, we decided to watch a movie. So we were, you know, I told you that Lisa was living with her sister Danielle and her husband Shannon. And so we were at Shannon and Danielle's house and we all decided to watch, get this, Finding Nemo. It just came out on DVD. So I'm dating myself a little bit. This is Thanksgiving of 2003. So we're kind of hanging out in the house and you've got Shannon and Danielle sitting together real close. Lisa's other sister and her husband are sitting really close on the couch. And then Lisa and I are sitting right there on the couch, but her little niece, her name is Elisa, came in to sit right in between us. That's probably a good thing, all right? Probably a good thing that she came to sit in between us. But as soon as the movie was over, I'm walking out to my car and I'm like, hey, Lisa, I gotta get going. I'm moving tomorrow. And so she's like, well, let me walk you to your car. And she walks out and here it comes, guys. She says, hey, I know we've been talking about visiting each other's parents over Christmas break, but I don't think it's a good idea for me to go all the way to Georgia and to visit your parents if we're just friends. And it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know how you guys are, but man, if I hear some girl, at least at this stage in my dating career, which was, I think I told you, next to nothing, I didn't really spend much time dating. But if I hear some girl say, I just want to be friends, what does that tell you? Well, I think it tells you they're not that interested. They want to take a step back from the relationship. They just kind of see you as a friend, not someone who's dating, dating material. And so when she said, hey, I don't think it's a good idea for me to come visit because we're just friends, it hit me pretty hard, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. And so I got a little bit frustrated because I felt like she had been leading me on. Now she just wants to be friends. And she looked at me kind of funny and she says, you understand what I'm saying, right? And I'm like, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. You know what? Don't worry about it. That was my mom's idea anyway. Yeah, I get you. You just want to be friends. And I got in my car and I sped off. I was just like upset, you know. So I'm driving fast back to my apartment. And then as I'm driving back, man, the tears just start coming. Tears just start flowing down my cheeks. I'm like, oh man, what is going on? I thought this was the girl I was supposed to marry. Now she just wants to be friends. And so I get home and I fall on my knees at my bed and I'm like, all right, Lord, I just give this to you. I don't even know why you created women, Lord. I mean, they're so frustrating to try to understand. So I'm just giving this up to you, God. And I'm praying that you would be first in my heart and that I would just trust you with whatever it is that's going on. And so I go to sleep. You know, it's kind of a rough night, tossing and turning. I wake up, fall out of bed again on my knees. I'm like, all right, Lord, this must be an idol in my heart. I got to give this back up. I'm giving it up to you, Lord. And then all of a sudden, her brother-in-law calls me on the phone. And Shannon says, hey, man, I heard you guys are moving today, or you're moving. Can I help you out? And I'm like, sure. And he's like, well, look, man, we're going to be there in an hour. Why don't you start packing up? And so he comes over, the other brother-in-law comes over, we're packing up, and somewhere in there, Shannon says to me, this brother-in-law says to me, hey, why don't you call Lisa, see if she can bring over a cooler in order to pack up the perishables in the fridge. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, last night she told me she just wants to be friends. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, man, she's like just wanting to like be in the friend zone. And I don't know if that's a good idea to call her. And he's like, well, you call her anyway. So I call her on the phone and I'm like, hey, Lisa, this is Adam. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, hey, listen, we're moving today. Shannon says there's a cooler in the garage back at your place. Would you mind bringing that over? And she's like, oh, I got plans today. You know, it's Black Friday. We're supposed to go shopping with my sisters. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, on your way out, you know, could you just bring the cooler over? And she's like, I guess so. Now, obviously, she's a little bit frustrated too, because guys, you know, when she said, I just want to, you know, we're just friends, she didn't say, I just want to be friends. She said, because we're just friends. In her mind, that meant that if we were more than friends, like if you asked me out, you know, then we could, maybe visit each other's parents. But because we're just friends, it's kind of weird to do a big trip like that if we're just friends. So that was kind of her meaning. I took it the different way. I took it to mean, let's back off. And now she's acting kind of funny again the next day, saying she's busy, you know. But she brings the cooler over. She packs up the perishables out of my fridge, which was nice of her. And then she just walks out and says, hey, I got to go. And by the way, I'm not available tonight to go out on a date, because we had decided earlier that week we'd be going out Saturday night, just the two of us. And she's now telling me I can't do it. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. So she leaves and now I'm frustrated. Now I'm really mad. And so I'm just throwing stuff into the back of the U-Haul and Shannon stops me. He's like, Adam, what are you doing? And I'm like, what am I doing? What is your sister-in-law doing, man? She's been leading me on and now she just wants to be friends. And now she just canceled our date for tonight. And he looked at me and he said, hey, Adam, did you tell her how you really feel? And I said, of course not. I'm not going to tell her how I really feel when she says we're just friends. And he's like, dude, you got to tell her. And I'm like, Shannon, you don't understand women. I mean, you can't tell some girl how you feel if she just told you I want to be friends. And so he's like, dude, I think you got to tell her. So I'm thinking about it. And then unbeknownst to me, he calls Danielle, Lisa's sister, on the phone. He's like, what is up with Lisa and Adam? I mean, does this girl like this guy or not? And Danielle's like, well, let me find out. So she places the phone on the counter, casually walks into the family room back where Lisa is sitting there reading a book. And Danielle looks at Lisa and she says, hey, what do you really think about Adam? I mean, is he the kind of guy that you could see yourself marrying? And Lisa kind of puts her book down and kind of smiles. And she's like, yeah, I'd totally marry him. And Danielle's like, oh, that's so sweet. And she walks back in the kitchen. She picks up the phone and she says, oh, it's on. And so Shannon, I didn't know about this phone call. Lisa didn't really know about the phone call, but Shannon comes back up to me and he's like, "Hey, dude, you got to talk to her. You got to tell her how you feel." And I'm like, "Well, look, I don't even have a time to talk to her. We were going to go out tonight, but she said that she couldn't go out. Something about babysitting for you guys." And he's like, "Look, we'll stay home. You guys go out. You need to talk. And so if you hang in there," and a little bit later in a future episode, I will tell you about what we talked about. I'll tell you about our first formal date. But right now, we are talking about 10 principles in dating, 10 ways to date to the glory of God. And we started a couple of weeks ago, starting about number one, am I dating a growing Christian? Guys, it can't just be someone who says they're a Christian. She's got to be growing in her faith. And I think that she should be godly. And I think she should also be good looking. I think to you, she better be gorgeous, all right? So you better be attracted both inwardly and outwardly. Number two, we looked at, do I have my parents' permission? So have I talked to my mom and dad, particularly if you're still living at home, do you have your parents' permission when it comes to their view of what dating is all about? And then number three is God's glory on display in our relationship. In other words, are we dating to the glory of God or for our own gratification? Number four, have I included my youth pastor, or spiritual mentor in the relationship? And then number five, am I seeking to give more than to get? That's where we ended. Today, we want to talk to you about number six, is the physical part of your relationship pleasing to God? So don't go away, because when you come right back, we're going to get into talking about the physical part of your dating relationship.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. Hey, here's the thing, guys. We've all been there. You know, you're confused. She says something, doesn't land right. You know, when you're dating, your stomach knots up. And instead of just clarifying what you said like a man, you start to stew over it. You blow it off. Or worse, you get passive aggressive and just ghost her. And if we're being honest, that's not strength. It's confusion dressed up as pride. And that's why I'm going to point you to a resource right now that could help you in that regard. It's called Conflict. It's a video resource with Todd and Dr. John Street, and it's available to you free right now on Fortis Plus. It's not a therapy workbook. It's a biblical guide that calls men to step into awkward moments with courage and clarity and humility. So if you're serious about dating for the glory of God, then you've got to learn how to navigate tension without flaring up or shutting down. And Conflict will help you do that. Again, it's available to you free of charge at FortisPlus.org. And honestly, that's what Fortis Plus is doing every day. Not just clips and quotes. It's full-length biblical content built for men, built for everybody, but also for men who don't just want to coast. We are adding 7 new pieces of content every single day. Real teaching from solid biblical teachers. No ads, no filters, just truth. And here's the thing to understand. Why is this different from Netflix? Well, because you just don't binge this, you build with it. Fortis Plus, it's free, doesn't cost you anything. There's no free trials or free tiers. It is all absolutely free. You can find it right now wherever you download apps or at fortisplus.org. If this podcast has helped you grow in any way or any of the content that we're producing at Fortis Plus, stop scrolling past and consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Look, we're not a brand. We're a mission. We don't exist without people who step in and say, "You know what? I'm going to carry some of this with you." You don't need to be rich or anything like that. You just need to make sure that you're already giving faithfully to your local church. And if you are, and you could join us over and above what you do for your local church, we would love to have you as a partner in this mission to get biblical content into the hands of as many people and churches as we possibly can. You can find out more information about what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at FortisInstitute.org. And listen, also, if you're in high school, if you're a senior, you know a senior, and you're trying to figure out what to do next, I want to put the Master's University on your radar. Real academics, real community, real discipleship. You'll walk out of the Master's University with a degree, but also knowing what it means to lead a home, not just build a career. You can find out more information right now at masters.edu/manhood. All right, let's get back to it now. Back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about 10 ways to date to the glory of God. Here we are on number 6, is the physical part of our relationship pleasing to God. Guys, if you are dating some young lady, you better be pursuing purity. I mean, you better be thinking about the fact that before she becomes your wife, she is your sister. And it is gross to think about the thought of treating your sister like you would a future wife, right? That's a kind of a gross thought. But I'm telling you, until you get married, you need to think of her as being a little bit more like your sister, which means you should keep your distance somewhat physically because you're not married yet. I mean, how do you really know that you're going to marry that young lady that you're dating anyway? Way too many guys make excuses to say, well, we're going to get married, so it's okay if we kind of cheat a little bit before we say, I do. That's not okay in God's mind. I mean, God tells us exactly what he thinks in Matthew 5, 27 through 29 from the lips of Jesus, where he says, you have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. Well, here's the principle. The principle that Jesus is saying is, stop where it's safe. Don't continue to the very edge of sin, right? I mean, sometimes, again, we start to ask the question, well, how far is too far, right? And that's kind of what we think about when we're dating. We're like, okay, well, if I'm a Christian, hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you have repented of your sin. You're part of the Gen Z that loves Jesus and you want to walk in accordance with his word, but you also like to think about girls and you like to maybe go on a date and you're trying to figure out who you might get married to. And since I mentioned in our first episode that not everybody holds to all the principles of courting, with courting, it's kind of like the idea is that you're already somewhat pre-engaged. And the other idea with courting is you pretty much always have a chaperone with you. So you're actually never alone, just the two of you. With the dating model, you're being just a little bit more like real life. It's like, hey, we can't always have somebody with us, but we still want to be careful, right? We want to be honest with the Lord and with each other. And so we want to make sure that we're not lusting in our hearts, right? I mean, that's what Jesus said. Anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so guys, we're talking about that when you are in a dating relationship, how are you even thinking of your girlfriend? Are you thinking of her as God's child adopted into the family of faith? Are you thinking of her as your sister in Christ, one that you want to be careful with and how you relate to her and to kind of what that looks like in your own relationship with her? Because I'm telling you guys, it's easy to fall into being too comfortable, too casual, and you start lacking in conviction, and then you start not putting up proper guidelines that would help you, which is why I do think it could be important to always have somebody nearby, or I like to say, just be aware that you're in the public eye. I mean, you're in God's eye. And so in a sense, you're also in the public eye. I mean, let me tell you a story about my old college pastor. His name was Rick Holland. He told this story about while he was the college pastor at Grace Community Church, there was this couple in his ministry that were dating and they were leaders in the ministry. And one day they came up to him and they said, hey, Rick, we need to talk with you. So they sit down in his office and he's like, yeah, guys, what's up? And they're like, hey, we don't know how to tell you this, but we've fallen into sexual sin. And Rick was a little bit devastated and somewhat shocked. And he's like, oh man, I'm really sad to hear that. Tell me what happened, guys. And so they talked through briefly and generically the scenario of what happened. And he's like, okay, listening to it. And he's like, man, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but somebody saw you. And they're like, oh man, what do you mean somebody saw us? Like, was it my roommate? And he's like, no, it wasn't your roommate. And he's like, oh my goodness, was it like my parents? And Rick's like, no, it's not your parents. And they're like, well, who saw us? And he said, God saw you. And they were both immediately relieved. They were like, oh, shoot, man, we thought for a second you had us scared. We thought somebody saw us. And he's like, look, guys, shouldn't it be more concerning to you that God saw you than your roommates or a friend or a family member? I mean, God sees it all. So what we're saying is that in our dating relationship, God knows exactly what's happening. And instead of getting as close as you can, you should want to stay as far away as you can. I mean, this is what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and following. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." So God says, hey man, it's my will for all of you, as young men and young women, that you would abstain from sexual immorality. I really like this verse because sometimes we're not 100% sure about the secret will of God. Deuteronomy 29:29 talks about the secret will of God. So that means sometimes I don't know God's providential plan for my future until it happens. But you know what I do know? I do know what he's revealed in his word. And what God tells me in scripture through his word is his will. And so I know it's God's will for me to be sanctified. That means for me to be set apart, for me to be made holy, for me to be growing in my faith, to be Christ-like. And in order to do that, I got to be willing to abstain from sexual immorality. That passage goes on to say that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So in other words, young man, if you're a believer, you know God. And lust doesn't reign or rule over your heart. You belong to Jesus. You've been bought with a price. And we're not talking about pornography right now, though that's certainly important. But we're talking about in a real relationship with the young girl that you're dating. You got to be on guard. And you got to realize that it can be tough when you're in a relationship with the young girl that you think is oh so fine. And you want to be with her, and you're dating, and you're talking about maybe getting married, but God's called you to be pure. God's called you to abstain from sexual immorality. And so instead of asking the question, how far can I go? You should be asking the question, where can I stop and know that I'm safe? Right? I mean, if you're climbing a mountain or maybe let's say you're at the Grand Canyon rather, and you're there at the edge, you don't necessarily want to tiptoe over to the edge and see how close you can get without falling in. I mean, I know young men do foolish things like that, and they dare each other to do foolish things like that, but you would have to admit that's somewhat foolish. You want to stay far away, 10 feet back. You know, you want to be in a safe distance to where you wouldn't literally fall in and lose your life. And so when it comes to physical interaction with your girlfriend, you shouldn't be asking, well, how far can I go? You should be asking, well, where is it safe for me to stay back? You know, so let's talk about that for a minute. What about touching? You know, let's talk about hugging each other. Can I give my girlfriend a hug? And my answer is like, well, yeah, I think it's okay to maybe hug your girlfriend, but it also depends on how are you hugging her? You know, are you giving her a full frontal hug, pulling her in real close? Or are you giving her maybe a little bit of a side hug? You know, you got to be aware of a young lady's anatomy. And it's not really going to be helpful for you to go give her a big bear hug and pull her right into yourself. All right, guys? So I'm challenging you to hug in an appropriate way. You know, what about holding hands? You know, is it okay for me to hold my girlfriend's hands? And I would say, well, yeah, I mean, it's okay to hold hands, but you got to be careful sometimes because that can get you thinking. I mean, when I was a youth pastor, I had students, you know, in my youth ministry, and some of them were dating. And I remember this one couple, they were kind of new to the church and they're dating. And so I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, and while I'm preaching, I'm looking at them and he's like twirling her hair, you know, and then she's like, they're like holding hands. And then she's like running her fingers up his arm. And the guy's like completely, you know, out of it. I mean, in fact, after the sermon, I go up to him and I'm like, hey guys, it's good to have you tonight. What's your name again? And thanks for visiting. And tell me, what did you think about the sermon? And I'm like, dude, you know, he's like, oh, it was good. And I'm like, dude, what was my sermon about? And he's like, I have no idea. You know, why didn't he have any idea? Because he couldn't focus. You know, he couldn't concentrate because of the way this girl is like rubbing his hand and his forearm the whole time. So you got to be careful. You know, obviously the biggest question is obviously, well, what about kissing? Is it okay to kiss? And I'm like, well, I mean, that depends. There's a way to give somebody a little peck on the cheek and a goodnight kiss. And there's a way to kiss like intimately and fervently and like in another language, where your mouth is open and your tongue is meeting her tongue. Guys, let's just face it. French kissing can be very stimulating. So my question to you is not necessarily going to be, is it okay to hug or hold hands or kiss? My question to you is going to be, can I do those things in a way that would honor God? I mean, few guys I know who are kissing like that are going to sit back and think, the heavens declare the glories of God and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. No, most guys are thinking about, man, what's the next step? And so I just really want to challenge you in this area. Number six, again, is the physical part of my relationship pleasing to God? Don't ask, how far can we go? Ask, where can I stop and know that we're safe? Let me pray for you guys that God would help you in this area. God, we just want to thank you for your word. And we thank you for principles in scripture that talk about our sanctification that's important to you. And I pray as young men are listening about the physical part of their dating relationship, that they would decide right now to stop where it's safe, to set up guidelines, to be honest about their own desires in their hearts, Lord. We know it's not a sin to kiss somebody, but it is a sin to lust. And so if anything that we're doing leads us to lust, we confess that before you and pray that you would keep us pure and holy in your sight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.